everybody. Good evening to the community. My name is Glenn Martin. I am at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, November 17th, and I'm here to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for tonight. May I have a roll call, please?
Do we have Chair Martin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Montes?
Here.
And Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
Okay, we can all stand for the flag salute, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Before we get into the meat of the meeting, I would like to encourage anyone who may be listening on by telephone, if they so choose, they're welcome to go to the front page of the city site online at royalgrandy.org. There are links there to agendas, and on the front page of the agenda for the Planning Commission meeting tonight is a link in order for you to gain access to the Zoom web meeting that we're conducting here. Tough times, a little bit awkward, not always convenient, but we're doing the best we can and making progress as we go along. On the agenda review, we have a fairly light agenda tonight. Are there any issues with the agenda as it's laid out? Being none, I will continue. This next opportunity is an opportunity for public comment. Is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. Do we have anybody in line to make any comments to address the Commission tonight?
Hi, this is Travis from AGP Video. I can help facilitate managing public comment. If anybody from the public would like to make a comment, please use the raise hand function. If you are dialing in by phone, please dial *9. Mr. Chair, nobody is raising their hand.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'm going to close public comment, or community comment for tonight. Any written communications? Were there any additional correspondence received, supplemental information after the agenda preparation? Hearing none.
Chair Martin, we have received no further written communications tonight.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We have one item on the consent agenda. It is the consideration of approval of the minutes of the October 6th meeting. I'll make the motion, just to keep things moving along here, that we approve the minutes of the October 6th meeting.
Chair, I do have a question.
Okay, sure.
I see that Mr. Oakley's name is highlighted on the minutes, and I was wondering if there was some information that was going to be added or if that was just an oversight and the minutes should be approved as is.
Commissioner Montes, I think I can address that. I believe that was a typo that we missed on the minutes, so we'll have to make that correction and bring the minutes
for
your consideration at the next meeting.
Okay. So at this point, this item is being withdrawn, so we can make a correction to the minutes.
Can we motion to approve with that correction being made?
I believe so. Where is that? So I'm looking at the minutes here. I
don't page 2, towards the bottom. It says Ben Oakley highlighted in yellow.
See, I don't see that on my draft.
Does anyone else see that?
Oh, I do. There it is. It just says Ben Oakley. Okay. Then I'll move that the minutes of the October 6th meeting be approved with the minor correction of omitting the name of Ben Oakley from page 2, item 9A. May I have a second? Ms. Montes. Ms. Montes second, I believe. Just there before you. Ken? We had a race and she won. Very good. Can we have a roll call on that vote, please?
Yes. Chair Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Montes?
Yes.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you very much. Item 8, public hearings. We have none. We'll go on to the meat of the meeting tonight on the non-public hearing items. Tonight is a study session to review and receive comment and provide direction regarding the circulation element update, the General Plan Amendment 20-001. I'm assuming we have a staff report of some kind on this.
That is correct. Thank you. This is Whitney McDonald for the record. We are here this evening to essentially have a study session regarding some of our draft documents that we've brought forward for discussion this evening about our circulation element update. And we are joined here by our consultants, Rosanna Southern and Todd Tregenza from GHD, as well as our city engineer, Robin Dickerson. And at this point, I think I'll hand it over to Todd, who's going to bring up a PowerPoint for us to go through and walk through some of the items that we want to talk about and get your feedback and feedback from the public this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Whitney. I'm going to go ahead and start the screen share. Let's see. Oh, wrong screen. Well, not the wrong screen, but too soon. Okay. Here we are. Thank you. I'm sorry. Robin, did you want to say a few words as I get started? I can just take it from here. I'll get started. We'll provide plenty of opportunity for comment. And what I'd really like to do is make this interactive. So please go ahead and stop me along the way if you have any questions, clarification. We have a few points in the presentation where I actually have planned to stop and allow some discussion. But in the meantime, if anything comes up, please do let me know. So what are we doing? What is the circulation element? Why are we updating it? And where are we in the process? So these are all questions we want to answer up front, and then we're going to walk through the public comment and how we anticipate and hope to generate that public. That starts with you all here tonight, and then we'll extend throughout the length of the process. Then we'll go through next steps and then have a question period as well. I'd first like to say it's been a great pleasure to be able to work on this plan. I've had the fortune of working, helping the city of Arroyo Grande for over 10 years, and it's great to see this element being brought forward for a comprehensive update that I think is well-deserved. The current element is dated. Oh, this is my next slide. Perfect. Last comprehensively updated in 2001. We performed somewhat of a minor update in 2012, really incorporating the bicycle and pedestrian master plan. But this update here is more than just a map. So we need to not only strategize on how to implement, you know, how can we bring forward multimodal projects that can be implemented in the future, but there's also specific policies that we need to add to become consistent with state law. And the circulation element, I might be biased as a transportation planner, but I am biased, but it must correlate directly with the land use element, and between those two, I think those are the most important pieces of the general plan, and they tend to have the greatest impact from my perspective on how a city develops and builds out. So some of the policies that we need to update are legislatively driven. Some are newer than others. The Complete Streets Act, AB 1358, that is really compelling us to make sure that our cross-sections, our standard street cross-sections, our maps, everything is designed from a complete streets perspective, that there's an accessible path of travel and safe and efficient way to get around the city, no matter what mode you choose. So that is somewhat of an evolution on policies that frankly, the city has always embraced, but we want to see which ones of those need to be made more robust and perhaps prescribe some requirements on how development applications are processed under the transportation impact procedures. Speaking of those, CEQA has changed as of SB 743, which was signed into law 2013, became operative this past July, where we're shifting the operative metric in CEQA from level of service, which measures vehicular delay and congestion, to vehicle miles traveled, which is more of an all-encompassing metric that I guess in a way you could say it describes the efficiency of the land use transportation system as a whole, and in doing so it measures how long people drive on average. So we talk about VMT per capita, average trip lengths. And if there's any questions about that in any more detail, I'd be happy to walk through that as well. But the big thing here is that we want to make sure that the city has a couple things in place so that development can proceed, understanding what the city's policies are. And those are baseline values for existing VMT and procedures for how projects will actually implement VMT, similar to how there used to be LOS policies for LOS C or D that was a level of congestion you wanted to maintain. We want to have similar metrics for VMT. We want to preserve LOS in some functions, although that will live outside of CEQA. With that, I'm going to use this slide to transition to Rosanna and let her present what we've done for existing conditions. And then I will pick back up when we talk about public outreach. But I just want to tee her up by stating, you know, we've completed the existing conditions background report. A lot went into this. This is a draft that has been started. It started some time ago, and it got pushed out for various reasons over the years. And so when we dusted this off and decided, okay, this is the time, we need to wrap this up and create an adoptable circulation element, we had to go back and relook at traffic volumes. We had to look at VMT. And so there is fresh information in this. And it brings the baseline understanding of how circulation currently is operating in the city of Arroyo Grande up to 2020. And in fact, really, it's up to 2019, because 2020, obviously, traffic patterns are different because of the way COVID has changed our travel behaviors, work behaviors, as exemplified with tonight's virtual meeting. So with that, Rosanna, are you ready to rock and roll?
There we go. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Again, thank you, Todd. My name is Rosanna Southern with GHD. So GHD compiled the existing conditions and background report currently as it exists, consisting of a significant review of existing planning documents to date, including the Bicycle and Trails Master Plan, the city engineering standards when we're analyzing the existing roadway classifications, and also analysis of citywide travel characteristics such as commute travel time. Some of those things play into setting the baseline conditions and the traffic operations. And we, next slide, let's see. So we evaluated operations at 33 intersections. The level of service is an industry standard terminology, LOS. It's a qualitative measure of traffic operating conditions whereby letter grade A through F is assigned to an intersection or roadway segment representing progressively worsening traffic conditions. LOS letter grades are calculated based on highway capacity manual methodologies and are based on intersection delay over the course of peak hour. LOS A represents free-flowing operations, and LOS F represents overcapacity conditions and severe traffic delays. So the map shown on the screen presents the results of our analysis. Traffic counts were conducted in 2019. and we're showing that a lot of intersections are operating at LOSC are better, are shown in green, and intersections which currently operate LOSD are shown in orange, and we had 5 intersections operating at LOSE or F. Okay. Next slide, thank you. In addition to the intersections, we evaluated 38 roadway segments in terms of level of service. All roadways were found to operate acceptable at LOSC or better. I don't know if you could, you know, see the traffic volumes, but East Grand Avenue, west of US 101, the traffic on an average daily level is around 15,000 to around 20, you know, less than 20,000 a day. East Branch Street, east of US 101, we're looking at around 11,000 average daily traffic to closer to 20,000 as well. And north-south corridors, such as Oak Park Boulevard, Elm Street, Halcyon Road, vary, but range between 9,000 and 15,000 vehicles a day. And that established the existing traffic operations that we analyzed. Okay, and then we also looked at the sidewalk inventory that the city provided. So the map on the left is available on the city's website. We looked at the gaps in the network for pedestrian as well as bicycle facilities. We identified for the bike facilities, as shown in the map on the right side of the screen, we identified class 1, 2, and 3 bike lanes. So class 1 is a separated bike trail or multi-use path. Class 2 are bike lanes, and class 3 is a bike route. We identified faded markings of bike lanes, gaps in the network as shown in red on the map, and directional gaps where one side did not have bike lanes marked. Next. In addition, we analyzed bicycle LTS, which quantifies the stress level of a given roadway segment by considering a variety of criteria, including street width, number of lanes, speed limit, on-street parking, presence of and width of bike lanes, and presence and width of parking lanes. Bicycle LTS is a suitability rating system of the safety, comfort, and convenience of transportation facilities from the perspective of the user or the bicyclist. It is based on the methods documented in the 2012 paper Low Stress Bicycling and Network Connectivity, conducted by the Mineta Transportation Institute. LTS-1 is the least stressful or most comfortable facilities, such as shared use paths, class 1 bicycle facilities, or low speed, low volume environments, and they're suitable for children or less experienced riders. LTS-4 is the most stressful or least comfortable and suitable for highly experienced riders. And typically, LTS-4 facilities have higher volume, high-speed roadways with mixed traffic environments. Roadways with speeds of 35 miles per hour is LTS-3 and a bike lane. And if it didn't have a bike lane and 35 miles per hour, it's LTS-4. So that's why on the map, it shows the level of traffic stress color-coded. Green is LTS-1, red is LTS-4. So most of the roadways, we analyze the major roadways, arterials and collectors throughout the city, and most of them have a speed of 35 miles per hour or higher. Ones that had 30 miles per hour and lower traffic volumes would be LTS-2, shown in green, or LTS-1 if it was a low-speed or off-street facility.
And one thing to note here, I don't mean to interrupt, but local streets are presumed to be lower stress, and so we didn't go through and analyze all of those. So your local neighborhood street is presumed to be low stress. I'm sure some of those are more stressful than others. But the significance of this is that, you know, we want to build a policy to connect destinations and homes to jobs, homes to shops, homes to schools, and have a low stress network. So what you'll see on this map is that despite having bike lanes on some of these facilities, their width or the speed of the traffic nonetheless renders them really not comfortable for anyone but an enthusiastic and confident cyclist. And so what we want to target is the folks that are encouraged to get out and ride on an LTS 1 or 2 facility, the interested but concerned. And LTS 1 is probably not a realistic target for a citywide plan, but having an LTS 1 or 2 network that you can get around if you need to on a bike in a comfortable manner is a goal that we're proposing to implement as part of the circulation element.
Okay, and then we also analyzed and reviewed current transit routes with South County Transit and truck routes. The city has designated truck routes throughout the city. East Grand is one of probably the major ones, and the north-south corridors of Oak Park, Elm, and Halcyon, and as well as Fair Oaks Avenue. So there are streets that already have, you know, designation outside of the federal requirements of, like, US 101, for example. So we looked at that, and those will also play into policies related to goods movements and, you know, truck access within the city.
Perfect. So before I hop over to, thank you, Rosanna.
Thank you.
And before I hop over to the interactive map, which I'm excited to present, I'm just curious, you know, going around the room or however we want to do it, if anybody has any comments about what maybe their highest priority is in terms of what they want to, what you would like to get out of the circulation element, or any questions about any of the data we presented and how we're going to be using it moving forward.
I do have a question. This is Glenn Martin, and it's more as general as much as anything. But when I look at the bicycle paths that are there, and I would probably describe myself as an enthusiastic rider. I've been actually on my bike quite a bit lately. How realistic is it to will the efforts be, or how successful do you think we can be in the medium term to convert some of these that are in that orange level, you know, down into that dark green level? Is going to make it much more palatable for people that, you know, for younger riders and less skilled riders, just make it more accessible. I look at the city, that existing map, and, you know, there's really not much this dark green even on that map. So
right, and it is an interesting observation. We went back and forth on some of these ratings. I think I was also a little bit surprised, but we wanted to stay data driven, because if we start varying from that, then we get all kinds of messy stuff. So we stuck to the methodology, and this is what came out. And so what we can look at is improving the robustness of some of those facilities where possible. And one thing that I wanted to touch on later was, for example, the Halcyon Complete Streets Plan. So that type of a project would bump you into the LTS 1 or 2 category, in that it provides traffic calming, slowing the motorists down. That's probably the hardest factor to control without changing intersections, because you can't just go out there and change speed limits willy-nilly. You have to change the behavior of the drivers. So lowering the speed is huge, and then improving the comfort of the facility. If it's on road, then converting to Class 4 is an option. That's not something that's currently in the city's circulation element, but we would also recommend adding that in. Class 4 facilities, just if you're not aware, are essentially similar to Class 2, except they have a vertical feature, so a separation either by a planter or a bollard or a half-height curb, something to physically separate the cyclist from the roadway traffic. And there are opportunities to do that, but they all come with trade-offs. So you're either reducing lane widths, or you're finding an alternative route for, you know, shifting traffic and maybe getting rid of a lane entirely, looking at turn restrictions. The right-of-way has to come from somewhere. So those are trade-offs that we have to evaluate kind of on a case-by-case basis. But, yeah, short-term, there are opportunities. There are grant opportunities out there. I know that ATP is a little bit of a challenge here because we don't have the disadvantaged community areas in the city. But perhaps through the HSIP process, the Highway Safety Improvement Program, another project that's ongoing concurrently that GHD is also involved in, although I'm not personally, is the Local Roadway Safety Plan and Systemic Safety Analysis Report, and active transportation is a part of that as well. So we'll blend any recommendations from that in with our study and infuse that into a single capital projects list. So it's a hard question to answer directly, but it's something that we have a lot of experience doing. Fair Oaks Avenue, I think, has opportunities there, particularly when you look at the future, which we'll get into a little bit later on in the presentation. But Halcyon's a good example of a strategy for that.
I happen to live near the Halcyon and Fair Oaks intersection. So for me to get onto a road that's not red or you know, is a fun kind of challenge. Yeah, I'll be looking forward to, you know, looking at those opportunities to make any one of these, you know, bike lanes a step down from their current status to make them more rideable for the general public.
Absolutely.
That, anyway, that's question/comment from me. Thank you.
Yes, this is Commissioner Shiro. I just had a question regarding Rodeo Drive, which I happen to live on, and I'm just wondering why that was at. I mean, there's a lot of other streets that are residential, like mine, that would be considered LTS 1 or maybe LTS 2 that aren't on the map. I guess my question is, why did we pick, you know, a small example of Rodeo and not some of the other streets?
I believe it's currently described as a residential collector, and so that's why. It's based on functional classification. So anything on this map that is a residential collector or above was included in our assessment.
And so we're not going to consider in trying to find that interlinked, you know, route that are LTS 1 or LTS 2, I guess what you're saying is even though there's streets that are LTS 1 or LTS 2, if they're not a collector or above, we're not going to consider those as a potential route to connect our traffic.
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, there's a couple things in play here. On the one hand, we want to be we want to look at the whole picture, but our scope is narrowly focused on completing the overall circulation element. You have a bike and trails master plan. We're going to look at some refinements there in this process, but we can't do a full bike plan update, active transportation plan update. So there's a chance that we're not able to identify all those unique scenarios like that. That said, if we come out of this process with a recommendation for a path, a bike either route or a bike facility that's not along a collector, we would certainly include that in the network. So we wouldn't want to not count it just because it's not a collector. We had to scope our analysis some way, and so the way we did that was by functional classification.
Thank you.
Hi, Todd. This is Commissioner Montes, and I hear what you're saying. But with respect to Wasna Road, in the future, maybe with an updated bike plan, I'd love to see a designated bike lane that would connect neighborhoods just past East Branch to Strother Park. got this great community park there, but it's kind of a sketchy road to ride along.
Yeah, there's lots of opportunities for improvement, but great suggestion.
Thank you.
Are there any more comments? Because that actually is a great segue into our next next part of our presentation. Hearing none, I'm going to try to back out of the PowerPoint without messing up the Zoom somehow. Let's see. Okay. So, a couple sites are up there for your information. On the City's own website, is everyone still seeing my screen? Okay, thank you. On the City's own website, we've updated some information about our circulation element update, and that shows up on the left column here, I think when you're on the Planning Department website, but certainly this direct URL is functional, aroagrande.org/733/circulation-element. We've uploaded some documents. These are documents that have been completed to date. Draft policies, certainly room for comments and input there. Existing conditions background report, we're considering that essentially finished at this point. You can constantly update existing conditions. They have a way of dragging on because they change. But please feel free to let us know if you have any comments or questions about that. And then a few of the maps. And I'm going to walk you through these maps because these are also draft. And in fact, that should probably be updated on the link here to make sure that's clear. So, quick timeline of where we are is posted here, as well as how you can help. But there is a link, or there will be a link. Oh, yeah, here's the link right here to our interactive map. And where that takes you is to the city's public outreach landing site. And this will be used not only for this plan, the circulation element, but also the one I mentioned, the local roadway safety plan. If you click on circulation element up here, and the URL, I'll make sure everyone has that as well. Circulation element has a little bit of duplicated content, but from the city's website. But the main star of this show is the project map. So I'm going to jump right in, and this is where all of your comments that are especially specific to locations can be received, and these will go out to the community at large as well. So when you first click on, you'll get an introductory splash box that thanks you for visiting, gives you instructions on translation. It's provided through Google Translate. We'll translate the whole web page. Also, instructions, brief instructions on how to leave your comment. And I will walk you all through that make-believe comment right now. So get started. I want to orient you to a couple things. So pretty familiar interface to anyone who's used Google Maps. It just pan around. You can change the base map, I believe. I'm not seeing that option right now. We may have locked it to this one in this case. People can zoom around. What we're showing here in the dashed lines are the existing bike network. And additional information can be added to this site as time goes on. But this, let me pull the legend back up, shows the existing class 1s, class 2s, and class 3s. We also have noted where schools are located. And we have city limits and the sphere of influence, which really only has, it has a little bit of area down here by Century Lane off of Valley, and then the Fredericks property to the southeast. So the way this works is that you zoom into your area of concern. So for example, if I wanted to add something over here by Huasna, I don't know if I got the location right. Was this for this Terra del Oro Park or Terra?
It's Strother Park.
Oh, Strother Park. Okay, right here. And so I could drag a comment and a bike suggestion. I'm clicking on this right now, drag it right onto the map. And I let go, and a box comes up and says, please try to provide bike connection through, neighborhoods to park. And I'll delete this later in case I butchered that. Email is required, so we can log who the comments came from. So I'm going to go ahead and add my email right here. And then first name, last name are optional, and attaching a photo is also optional. But that's a nice feature if anybody has an example of something that they're particularly concerned with. Go ahead and add the comment and click close, and it's logged, and everyone else can now see this comment. And what's nice is that you can actually like or dislike other people's comments. And so there's a way to have kind of a feedback mechanism. If you see something and you don't want to duplicate it, but you really like it, we'll count that comment twice. Any questions about the website or how to use it?
Nope. That's great. Thank you. That's very, very nice.
Okay. Very good. Working from home, it's an amazing thing. Okay, back to my PowerPoint. So that's that. Happy to take any questions about that. We'll work with the city to distribute that amongst your typical communications channels. Let's see, where were we? In development. Okay, back to this. So where are we at? We've presented what we've completed, and what are we working on now? We're working on the policies, and again, those draft policies are up on the website, but here's some highlights that we have. So first of all, really increasing the robustness of the complete streets policies, looking at alternative improvements, and by that, really the class fours. We're going to do more than just a bike lane, or make maybe just a buffered bike lane, and where can we consider roundabouts in place of signals? Having a roundabout first policy is something we've been seeing more and more. We're big proponents and advocates of roundabouts for their safety and traffic calming benefits. And so that's something we're proposing to include for consideration anywhere you have a new intersection or one that needs to be upgraded. VMT reduction policies, those look on the surface similar to travel demand management policies of the past. They also look like greenhouse gas reduction policies. They're all very much related, but we need to tie them to specific metrics so that we are teed up to have a process that lines up with the new CEQA guidelines for VMT. Access management, traffic signal coordination, maintaining and updating a local roadway safety plan. So that's a new requirement of the HSIP program, the Highway Safety Improvement Program grant. And we want to make sure there's a policy in there that says, you know, safety, the safety plan will be updated on a regular basis, and that will keep the city not only competitive for grant funding, but also abreast of any changes to hotspots or systemic concerns for safety. Maintaining a level of service threshold, we want to move that to D. I think your existing circulation element may still have LOS C, which is a very aggressive policy level of service. C is a relatively free flow condition. And so moving that to D so that we're not making improvements that may not be necessary outside a 15-minute peak period of the day. Level of traffic stress for bicycles, we want to introduce a goal there, an objective and a threshold, so that when a project comes in, it can be conditioned if, for example, it's in an area with poor level of traffic stress to provide or maintain continuity of a low-stress network. And having three as a citywide threshold is something that we think is a good objective to strive for. And then having a LTS 2 or 1 network would be something also ideal, particularly in the vicinity of schools or things of that nature. We want to incorporate plans. So Halcyon Complete Streets is an example. There's some other areas that are kind of bubbled out on the map. And those all will ultimately be treated in a similar fashion, where there may be specific corridor study areas, plan lines, things of that nature that we want to call out so that despite what may be the existing functional classification, we may not have a name for every type of street. So Housing Complete Streets would be a different type of classification. So calling those out as study corridors and deferring the requirements of what that corridor looks like to the plan. Active transportation planning, we want to bring that into the forefront as well. Again, you have a Bike and Trails Master Plan 2012. It's probably becoming time to start considering an update to that. An active transportation plan is actually a prerequisite now to active transportation funding if that opportunity presents itself, and other funding routes as well. We also want to consider truck routes. And so when we're looking at making it livable, complete streets, we still need to maintain circulation for deliveries and make sure that the economic engines of the local the local economy aren't inhibited by some of the designs that we would otherwise prefer for downtown areas. So making sure that we consider the truck routing when we're looking at things like bulb outs or complete streets treatments. Neighborhood traffic management, I think, has been on the circulation element for some time, but making sure we update that to the latest and greatest industry practices. So here are some draft maps that are in development, and I should note that the source of these maps is somewhat varied. These have been things that have been proposed and planned in various stages since about 2012, when we began talking to the city about a circulation element. And so they're not final by any means, but they're a starting point. So we wanted to get everything that had been put on the table on the map and then start working with you and the community to refine these. So some highlights here are the Halcyon Road Complete Street, again shown here as a study area. We have some intersection improvements denoted by the colored circles and triangles. We have a study area also that covers the East Grand interchange to East Branch and West Branch and Traffic Way. That whole area requires a solution that is looked at not in isolation. That's a system that will work together. And similarly, Traffic Way. So an interchange down around the Traffic Way area is something that, in fact, is on the current map, but we provided a higher level of detail in terms of where some of those alignments may fit and where some of those roadway connections could sit on a plan line. And then, let's see, what else? In terms of classifications, there is a new pink overlay. There's the yellow overlay, which is a little hard to see on this version maybe. That's the complete streets areas. So those are areas where we want to focus on making sure maybe there's a multimodal priority in the design and planning of those areas. And then the pink overlay specifically is a master plan study review area, and this is East Grand, where specific focus will need to be taken to figuring out exactly what that roadway looks like. There's some constraints out there, and a lot of things have been discussed over the years, so we want to call that out as an area of specific emphasis. Let's see. Okay, and then this brings me to the bikeway facility improvement map. This is from the 2012 Bicycle and Trails Master Plan. So again, we're starting from what's on the books, but room for improvement here as well. One thing you'll note, for example, is there are no class fours, so we do plan on introducing class fours where we need to lower the level of traffic stress, and there's no other means to do so by lowering volume or speed or narrowing travel lanes. So class four is a new tool in our tool belt for this round of circulation element. Last but not least, pedestrian and transit facility improvements. These, again, have been things that have been in various stages of planning over at the city, and I think were maybe included in a pedestrian plan that I wasn't directly involved in. But looking at where ped bridges have been called out in the past, either new or reconstructed, new mid-block crossings. So looking at opportunities to provide a pedestrian crossing even if there's not a signalized intersection on some of these long corridors, particularly the commercial areas. And then this map is one that I anticipate seeing the most influence from the local roadway safety plan. and the SSAR, the systemic safety plan that are ongoing, following similar timelines to our process, but that will generate a list of capital projects that will include things like crossing enhancements, and so we look forward to introducing that as well. This map also has trails, which were not, some of these may end up being multi-use, full class one designation, bicyclist or pedestrian, but some of them may be more informal pedestrian connection trails. So our next steps are to complete the following draft documents. The circulation element update in its entirety, so taking those policies, taking the new maps, and wrapping them up into a new document. We very much look forward to presenting that to you all at our next meeting. We're also starting, we've engaged our team members that are preparing the environmental document. The document we're targeting is a mitigated negative declaration, so they're getting started on what's called the initial study by writing up a project description, so that this entire process, the circulation element, can be taken through CEQA by the time it's adopted. And then traffic impact fees. That's something I haven't talked about much today, but those are also overdue for an update, and what we're looking to do, what we're scoped to do, and what we will do is taking the capital projects that come out of this process that have a nexus to future development. So we have to separate out those that are really addressing an existing deficiency and introducing any new projects that have been identified that have a nexus to growth, and updating those traffic impact fees so that you can start collecting local sources of funding to contribute funding or fully fund the construction of these projects. That's what I've got. That's it. So with that, I'd like to take any questions or comments, discussion, however we want to move forward.
Thank you very much, Todd. This is Glenn Martin again as the chair. I'm going to open it up and just ask if there are people that have any kind of questions, you know, for the staff or these consultants that are here. Commissioner Sage?
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair Martin. I just have a couple of short questions going back to LOS and the change from the target from the current C to the proposed D. And I sort of refer to the LOS as more as the irritation factor, because I think that's what we really hear from the public is when we do projects and place in new development, the issue always comes to the forefront of delay in traffic or constantly backed up, and the traffic flow is horrible, et cetera. It would seem to me that be a little counterproductive to change that to a lower class, where we have the probability of even increasing the irritation level. So I'm sort of like to have a little more clarity as to why we're really doing that.
Sure. And I think that, you know, our map unfortunately just shows LOSC or better. It doesn't show which ones are C today. We can pull that information out for you so you can see. I think what you'll find is when you look at the level of service C intersections, those are not intersections that you would consider problematic today. Okay. And so setting that as a threshold becomes very difficult to mitigate, frankly. And so sizing improvements within limited right-of-way to achieve level of service C could often mean taking right-of-way, taking businesses or open space or whatever it may be, achieving level of service C, it's just a difficult bar to meet. And frankly, we've seen a lot of communities moving to level of service E. So I would strongly encourage maintaining level of service D as your minimum. But if there are exceptions to that, or if wholesale, that's just not a popular decision, ultimately, we want to produce a document that works for you and your community. So we are all ears to that, and if we need to have further discussion on that, I'm certainly open to it. That was my opinion of it and my sense of where we are.
Okay, thank you for that. I my other questions are actually back on to the report that we received in our package. And there's a, and actually it does include that issue about the LOS. It seems like in the packet anyway, we have a little bit of a conflict, it would appear, that on page 52 under CT3, they were under the automobile policies, they refer to the recommendation to change it to LOSD. But on page 64, under objectives and policies, they seem to retain it there to under CT2 to LOSC. So I'm not sure if that's a error in the document, or if that, or I just perceive that to be a conflict between the two different policy areas.
Okay, that's a good catch. I'll have to look at that and follow up.
Okay, and then I think my my last question. Let me see if I can get my notes here. Okay. And then actually, there's a in the document again under at page 18 under 2.1.1. There is a statement in there that. Indicates, let's see, that was page 18. Let me just go to that page quickly. There's a statement under 2.1.1 that says that GHD is investigating local PMT further and will update this section based on the results of additional analysis and validation. Now, when I read that, and then I read further about how the SLOCOG has in fact identified criteria for us to use, is that telling me that GHD has not sort of tied in with SLOCOG, or is there is that just prior to the SLOCOG input?
So PMT is an interesting deal, but I'm happy to get into it. So SLOCOG has issued some guidance. They have not adopted, per se, anything binding. And so what we want to make sure of is that we develop a policy that works for the city and that is not going to either have unintentional consequences in its application. We want to make sure that VMT is very challenging. It's not like LOS where you can just go out and count cars and measure delay. It all comes out of a model. The validation is very much in a black box. And so, not that that's overly comforting, but I'm trying to make it less comforting maybe, because you can't always trust what comes out. You want to trust but verify, right? And so that's what we want to do here for the city, is make sure that what's being issued out from the regional model at SLOCOG is something that's workable. Another thing is, because it's model-based, it follows traffic analysis zone boundaries. SLOCOG uses a much larger model for the whole region, and we have a local model for the city that has more refined traffic analysis zones. And we want to make sure that there isn't some advantage to breaking it up further. And this is a policy that can be updated, of course, but it's going to have effect. And so we just want to make sure we get it right. And so that's going to take some vetting, working with city staff, working with the community. We're also under contract with the county to develop VMT thresholds and procedures and baseline values for the unincorporated county. And for the same reason, we took another look at that. And in fact, we developed a methodology that is quite different than what SLOCOG came up with. Nothing against SLOCOG. They do some great work, but it's just not refined to the local level where we would like it to be if we're being your advocates.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. And I think those are the only questions or comments I have at the time. Thank you very much, Chair Martin.
If I could jump in, I think I have possibly have an answer to Commissioner Sage's questions about the two different references to LOS in the attachments. So I think the attachment that the reference that appears on page 64 of the overall document, I believe that is that's a copy of our existing policy in the existing circulation element, and so that's where we're seeing the LOSC target, whereas the prior references to our draft proposed policy.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Commissioner Montes, you've got questions?
And yes, thank you. I have one question, and it's regarding the Briscoe interchange. So I see that that is an LOS Class D, and I know that that project requires some coordination with Caltrans. At this time, does it look like that it will remain as is at an LOS Class D, or are we still moving forward with the project?
So that project remains on our map. It's, as far as we're concerned, it's still a planned project that the city wants to continue pursuing.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Okay.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes, thanks. I just want to jump back into just to clarify a couple things about VMT and LOS. So I guess my first question, Todd, just maybe trying to read between the lines, are you recommending that as far as city needs and city-specific goals, it would be better to keep LOS and continue to use that in our circulation element?
Yeah, for a couple reasons. One, it's important, I think, to the community. You want to know what congestion, you know, what delays will be before and after, especially a big development project or something like that. But it also has, you know, implications to your fee program. So how you generate funds through the Nexus study, that's all based on level of service. And so we demonstrate a nexus between future growth overall and the degradation of level of service from C to D or worse. In this case, it'll be from D to E or worse. And so we want to be able to collect funds based on that nexus. So you got to maintain a policy for that purpose. Secondary also is even if CEQA is moving to VMT, I think a lot of agencies, I can't think of a single agency, city or county that I've worked in that has decided we're just done with LOS. So everyone still wants to see it included within a local traffic study, or it could come up with different names for what that document's called. But it's a document that addresses the project's consistency against general plan policies. And one of the nice things about that is that it takes the level of service discussion out of the CEQA world, and it brings it back into, frankly, your control, where as commissioners you can review the project and decide, you know, what is a reasonable way to proceed. If this project is causing this impact, this is what a fix could be, you know, and you have flexibility in how do you exact mitigation for that issue.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Is VMT, are there cities and entities that are using both in their language, looking at both VMT and LOS at the same time?
Absolutely, yeah. So we would recommend that because VMT cannot tell you when you have a problem. It can't tell you when you have a deficiency that needs to be fixed. All it can tell you is how well integrated your land use and transportation plan are, how sustainable the overall patterns of development are. So it's important to look at both, I think.
And so, you know, this is just something that when I first saw VMT and read through it, one of the things that I was actually excited about, that I'll give you a specific example, you know, owning a restaurant that has, you know, 50-some employees, a vast majority of which are commuting a pretty long distance because we don't have the affordable housing and workforce housing that we would like to have. And I would know that if we were to propose a workforce affordable housing project near, you know, somewhere near the village, near that entity, if you looked at LOS, it would look at probably adding to that problem. Mm-hmm. Versus when you really thought about if specifically those employees were now not actually driving to work and driving from Santa Maria and driving from Orchid and driving, in the big picture, it really would help our, you know, at least somewhat, you know, that there would, you know, I'm kind of tossed at, yes, I want the best for our city, but I know in the reality how much we need that and how great it would be for our community and societies as a whole to live so close to where we work that we really don't have to drive much. And I don't, yeah. I'd like to see, you know, some language that would recognize that somehow. That's
sure. Yeah. No. And I mean, the project example you just gave would obviously do very well under CEQA with VMT for a number of reasons. I think workforce, depending on whether it's actual affordable housing, there's a lot of incentives being thrown that way in terms of streamlining CEQA because the state recognizes that need. And the state probably, frankly, recognizes that the VMT policies can conflict also with the need to provide housing. So they're trying to carve out some exceptions to housing for that reason. And our policies would reflect that direction. And frankly, if there's an area like that, we could look at LOS and LOSE allowance in some parts of the town. Again, that is not by any means unprecedented. So that would be something we'd be open to discussing as well. Or maybe LOSE is okay if this condition or that condition is met. But again, it moves that discussion back into your court and outside of CEQA, which I think is kind of a win-win.
Right. And I'm speaking as somebody who, looking at the map, I think for whatever reason, just because where I live and where my businesses are, I go through those F intersections, I think, as much as just about anybody. So, I'd like to see those rectified, definitely. But at the same time, I'd like to see, you know, language that would recognize some of those projects that would really, you know, facilitate us all driving less and walking, you know, to work more. And looking at previous city manager who, when he first started talking about the cost of service to outlying areas and how much that costs the city, and obviously, you know, Planning Commission doesn't always look at budget. That seems to be more council prerogative. However, just common sense makes it seem like we should at least address that if we're going to be looking at, you know, circulation elements. We'd like to have a circulation element that doesn't cost us more money than we can afford.
Sure.
Which leads to my next question. So traffic impact fees, you know, looking at, you know, I guess my difficulty in looking at plans when I kind of go, gosh, where are we going to get the money for that? And so the first question of traffic impact fees is the answer to that question. But knowing that we're in a city with so much infill, there just isn't, you know, the land out there for, you know, large chunks, doesn't mean that we won't get infill project here and there. I guess my question is more of a statement question. Isn't it really difficult to get significant impact fees in a city like ours, in this given the situation that we're in?
It is certainly a challenge, and cities your size have a challenge. Anyone without big or large greenfield areas to develop have that challenge. So we want to make sure that they don't inhibit development either. So we don't want to jack up the fees and make it impossible to build here. But there are other sources of funding that I think we just need to tee ourselves up for. And, you know, we haven't always won those competitive grants, but have won some for the city. And just we got to keep doing good planning to position ourselves well for that those opportunities. And I don't know if there's any other, you know, urban kind of infill big areas that might come up in the future. But if there are, you know, there are other financing mechanisms available. But yeah, it's a tough nut to crack. I mean, I don't have an easy solution for that problem. It's bad algebra, right?
Well, thank you. That was a great presentation, a great report.
Thank you.
Commissioner Maravilla, you have questions at this time?
I actually don't have any questions, but just want to kind of add on to Frank's, Commissioner Shiro's comments. Is I completely agree with everything that he said, and those were a lot of my concerns, was making sure that we don't in any way prohibit development for like those low-income housing units. That was kind of my main goal with this. Everything, this was a great presentation. A lot of the things that you went over actually answered my questions, so I really appreciate that. But that was just my main comment throughout this whole thing, was I just want to make sure that we're not putting excessive prohibitions on those kind of developments.
Very good. Thank you. I don't have a specific question. I have a number of questions, but I'm going to kind of blend them into my comments at the end. So in reality, I don't have many specific questions. And I'd like to take this opportunity to allow the public, if there's anybody in the public, anybody in that queue that is interested in making a comment or has any kind of questions for the commission or for staff on this. I'm going to turn it back to the host. Are there people in line that would like to participate in this?
I'm not seeing any hands. If the member of the public would like to speak, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any hands. Oh, no, sorry. First member is Jim Guthrie. Mr. Guthrie, I've allowed you to talk. Please unmute yourself.
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I thought I had to dial in, so I was dialing on the phone. Okay. So, yeah, I guess I'll ask about the elephant in the room. That is, of course, the Frederick's annexation. And so I guess my general feeling here is that it seems like we've done this pretty backwards, that it's can you guys still hear me? Looks like
yes.
I disappeared.
Yes.
Okay.
No. You're
okay.
With us.
So I didn't hear any discussion of that at all, and by far that's the biggest change to our circulation element from what it was in the past. So I'm wondering why we are putting this into a circulation element rather than running it through the land use first, which is where we would decide what this annexation would look like if in fact we were going to do it. So that's my first question. And sort of related to that was that we do have two other plans, the Grand Avenue Master Plan and the Halcyon Plan, which are going to have proposed significant changes, I believe, to the circulation on those two streets. Again, why aren't we bringing those forward first so they can be included exactly as they'd be designed instead of have to be like a general plan amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Guthrie. Is there someone that wants to be able to address that more successfully than I could? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to take on some of that. And then, Whitney, I don't know if you have some thoughts to add on as well. In terms of the Fredericks property, certainly recognize that as an elephant in the room, as you mentioned. We're not doing a land use element update at this time. But we did provide detail with the trafficway interchange alignment that would be important to any future development in that area. I think it's necessary probably regardless of that, but it would be the backbone infrastructure to support future growth for sure. You would need that in there. Whether additional infrastructure is needed out there, you know, that kind of gets into some of those other mechanisms where maybe there's a specific funding, either a CFD or some financing available to help get that rolling, because there will be all kinds of infrastructure needs for an area like that. So that's that. In terms of the Grand Avenue Master Plan and the Halcyon Complete Street, master plan. Those will not be a general plan amendment. Those are being incorporated into this in such a way that those plans would be consistent with this circulation element.
Right. I can maybe tag on to that as well and just kind of flesh it out and it just essentially state our, from a staff perspective, our concurrence from what Todd just explained on all three of those items. In terms of the Frederick property, we wanted to make sure to identify, because we have that a portion of the that property is already within the city's boundaries, there is the identified potential for that to be developed at some point. We wanted to make sure we went ahead and started planning for what might be needed there, and at least identifying it as a study area. So that's the way it shows up right now. It's kind of a hatched line and almost a little bit of a blob around that interchange, in addition to identifying some existing access roads or existing right-of-way that we believe could go there in the event that something does happen. So it is a little bit of a chicken and egg game that we play with planning, and I think it's semi-common. As Todd mentioned, for anything that would occur on the site, obviously that would go through the planning process that went along with the development itself. But we thought it was important to at least acknowledge that this is an area that we would need to study and look at, especially from that large picture view, so everybody knows there would be this interchange issue in that area we needed to make sure was in the map. And then as well on the East Grand Avenue Master Plan, that plan is really in a very kind of nascent stage. We don't have much to identify in terms of specific improvements, but certainly to the extent that that plan kind of comes to fruition and actually does identify some changes, then, you know, it would need to be consistent with the circulation element policies that we've established so far. And then to the Housing and Complete Streets plan is much farther along in the process. It's pretty much completed except for adoption and the CEQA component, which is very near to completion as well. So we do want to make sure that we incorporate that because of the role or the place it's at in the process. We think that will be important for us to address and at least make sure that we have a policy that references it. Rather, because there was so much effort put into the plan itself, it would just allow people to take a look and dive down deeper into that specific area to identify the improvements that we're contemplating there. So I think that's how I envision those three kind of larger ticket issues playing out.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Guthrie. I think those are it was a pretty good question, and certainly we don't want to be excluding that Frederick's property in our future conversations. Is there anyone else out there in the queue in the public that we're aware of?
Mr. Chair, that was the only public comment.
Very good. Thank you very much. I'm going to start with the comments. I only have a couple that are here, and I'm going to certainly extend the invitation to the other commissioners to make their comments. The first thing that comes to mind to me, and it literally is highlighted on page one of the memorandum packet that we received today. And for my position, I think that this is a great exercise that we're involved in, but I also think it cries out for the need for a general plan update as well. It looks as if it was 2001, 19 years, 20 years here in another month or so since that's really taken place. What we have in front of us is a fairly extensive document, and an awful lot of work has gone into it. But I think that at some level, I think even piggybacking on what Jim Guthrie had to say, some of his questions I think are focused outside the scope of this traffic study and circulation study. But I, for one, would strongly encourage the staff and the city council to look at putting together a general plan update at some point, hopefully in 2021. Now, with that being said,
this is also an exercise in good planning. To me, it's an example of it takes an awful lot of time and energy and dollars and commitment to put a document like this together in order to comply with, you know, state rules and regulations. And I appreciate the hard work that the staff and GHD has done to put this together. I think it's a high quality document. I think there's an awful lot of information, you know, that's in there, and quite a bit of breadth and meat in this document for us to really chew on. The challenge, and my closing comment really, is converting the information and the guidelines in this document to budgeted projects is the real challenge. You know, we can sit there and have 17 miles of green dots, you know, green dotted lines on bike paths or pedestrians' paths, or you know, finishing off sidewalks and things of that nature. And so I think, you know, having a good plan where this is identified is really provides an awesome tool, but converting that into budgeted projects becomes the real challenge, as Mr. Shiro, you know, talked about. You know, how do you generate the fees in order to do that in a very small community where we don't have large areas that are ripe for a big development? But with that being said, I do appreciate the work that has been done. It's a great draft document. Converting it to reality here in our little local community, to me, is going to continue to be the big challenge for us. Other comments? Commissioner Montes, do you have any comments you'd like to add at this time?
I'd just like to say thank you to everyone who's worked on this plan. I know it's hard during COVID and with staffing challenges, and it's a great draft. Thank you.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes, thanks, Chair Martin. Todd, thank you very much. It was it's a very complete document. I just would like to echo Chair Martin's comment regarding the general plan update. It's, you know, we're in that situation where having, you know, looking at things like LOS and BMT, we certainly need to consider those, but when we see how much housing and how, as former Councilman Guthrie spoke of, there's so much, that so many of these things are connected to housing and to land use, that it's really hard to do one at a time. When you really think about it, they really almost need to be done simultaneously and to be connected. And however much we can do that, however that process would play out, I would be fully supportive of. And I know that's obviously a lot of work, but it's been a while since we've done, obviously, either of those. But just looking at how many times we've talked about workforce housing and how we see the need to have people not having to commute, to see the need for people to have being able to be close to their work. It's good for our town. It's good for our environment. It's good for commerce. And learning how to add those units smartly, intelligently, coordinated with our circulation, I think is kind of the thing that we're all here trying, you know, to do. And I hope that we continue to really push for that goal and do that in a very intelligent way. So thank you.
Commissioner Sage, do you have any comments at this point? You need to unmute yourself to... Mr. Sage, if you'd like to comment, you're going to need to unmute your microphone. There we go. Ken, you have any comments you'd like to add at this time? I know for myself, I can't hear Ken. I'm not sure exactly what the issues are, but I'm gonna move on here. Ms. Maravilia, do you have any kind of any comments you'd like to add at this point in time?
No, I kind of gave my comment during the questions section.
OK.
Very good. Can we have one last stab at Ken? Ken, you're muted on my screen. If you can unmute yourself, when you became unmuted, I still could not hear you. But
can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Please, if you'd
like
something,
there we
if you'd like
go.
To add something, okay. Please feel free.
I would, just shortly, I'll just echo the comments about the draft report. I think it was an excellent draft. Looking forward to the next version of this. I think it will help answer some of our questions that we still have. Other than that, no other comments.
Very good. Thank you very much. I think that's it from the commissioner. Are there any, if there's questions from staff or questions from Todd, is there additional information you'd like from us or something specific that we haven't addressed that you would like us to comment on?
Not on my end, other than if you have the URL and you are connected to other folks in the community, please encourage people to participate. We want as much comments, as many comments as we can to inform the document.
Thank you very much. That's a great comment. The one comment I didn't make, and I probably should have, is at the beginning of our documents and our notes here, there's talked about advantages and disadvantages. And even though under disadvantages there's none identified, I think the absence of a live interaction presents the single greatest challenge. So if there are people that have been patiently watching this after the meeting is over and they're going through and watching this, please take Todd's suggestion. Go onto the city website, look into the links that will get you in through the planning department into the maps that are there, of the city. Please feel free to make your comments on that map. If not, please feel free to call into staff. You're welcome to contact me. I'm assuming my fellow commissioners are also available to be interrupted as they walk their dogs and shop in the grocery stores, whatever, like people are already doing on a regular basis. But for me, the public input and participation is critical to the ultimate success of whatever document gets made, and obviously ultimately to whatever projects get budgeted and constructed and updated and upgraded in our community. So these are tough times, and I appreciate the reminder from Todd that push and nudge the community to take that extra effort that's really needed right now in order to participate. So thank you. So if that's it, I think we're done with that item. We can move on to these last couple items and then we can close out our meeting for this evening. Item 10 is just a notice of administrative decisions. There are two that are listed on here. Are there any questions from any of the commissioners concerning either one of these administrative decisions? I'm not seeing any at this point, so we'll just notate them that they are included in decisions that are made for these two organizations to conduct. One's a business activity and one looks more like a community activity. Any other final communications from the fellow commissioners before we adjourn the meeting here tonight? Commissioner Shiro?
I'd just like to let everyone know that we will be, thanks to the cooperation of the city, we'll be putting a tent up a short street shared by Gina's and Rooster Creek so that we will be continuing outdoor operations along with our patio and parklet and sidewalk dining, and I can't pray for a drought. We had 7 years of drought, so I just want to say that we will have seating if it does rain, and we'll do the best we can.
Very good, Ms. Montes. Any other final comments from either you or?
I'd just like to say a quick thank you to Five Cities Fire and Cal Fire today for getting that fire out. That was really nerve-wracking watching it today. But thanks to all who worked on that and got it out for us.
Absolutely. Any other comments from the other committee? commissioners? I'm seeing none. Any staff communications? Ms. McDonald, do you have any comments for us before we adjourn here tonight?
I think I'll just say thank you to everybody for helping make our Zoom debut go smoothly. And it is nice to see everybody again. I think everybody probably agrees, even though we can't be in person, at least we can see each other. And I think it's important for us to be able to, you know, read faces at least a little bit. Tends to make a difference, I think, for the way that we conduct business even. So thanks, and thank you to the public for rolling with us as we make these transitions with the technology and just constant changes with COVID. So that's the other issue. I know, I'm sure everybody's very much aware of what's going on. Lots of new changes going on from the state level related to trying to address this spike in COVID cases. So just hope everybody can stay safe. I know it's really disappointing that I'm sure a lot of people's Thanksgiving plans are probably changing. I know mine are, so we're all kind of in the same boat of being bummed out, but trying to keep each other safe is really, I guess, where we're at. So just wanted to lend our support if there's anything, if there are businesses who are needing to make yet another transition back into the purple tier, if there's anything you need to let us know, contact us at the city, contact staff, and we'll see what we can do to help you make those changes, because we know they are, they come in waves, and we're in one of those right now. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you to everyone for participating, and whatever little bucks we have in the process, hopefully they'll continue to get ironed out. Have a good, safe, and sane holiday, and we'll see you on the other side of Thanksgiving. Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.